Good evening, brothers and sisters.
Good evening, brother.
It's always a pleasure to be able to come up and give God's word. First, we're going to read about three chapters here. Please turn to Proverbs 12:25. And it says like this: heaviness is in the heart of man, maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh glad. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Proverbs 25:11. Says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Brother Kevin said one and another in his prayer. My devotional tonight is encourage one another. So I'm thankful for that. Who does not like to receive an encouraging word? Who does not appreciate a kind, timely word spoken into your life when you needed it the most? Who does not love to have the knowledge that someone will stand by your side and help you, even in your darkest hour? Brothers and sisters, encouragement is so valuable to one another. The scriptures we just read speak to the value of these words to our souls. In the early days of the church in Jerusalem, there was a man who was such an encouragement to the body of Christ that they did not call him by the name given by his parents. They simply called him Son of Encouragement. We know that man as Barnabas. The name Barnabas means Son of Encouragement. We see this man many instances of encouragement. In Acts 4, he sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money to the apostles so that they could take care of the needy Christians in Jerusalem. In Acts 9, we see Barnabas again when Paul becomes a Christian. Paul comes to Christ and tries to join the church in Jerusalem. The church refuses Paul because he was a persecutor of Christians during that time because they did not believe he was a disciple. Barnabas came to the side of this persecutor of Christians and brought Paul to the apostles and told them about how Paul had been boldly preaching the name of Jesus. You see, we need this kind of encouragement. This is exactly what God called for us to have toward one another, and how we are to behave toward one another as the body of Christ. God calls for us to encourage one another. What does in 1 Thessalonians 5:11 say? Let's go there. 1 Thessalonians 5:1. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Again, we need this kind of encouragement. Think about how many people people have the gift of discouragement. How easy it is to be the discourager. When that person talks, it's always something negative to say. open joy is erased when they open their mouths. Everything is a complaint. Everything is a discouragement and frustration. I deal with that every day at work. This kind of attitude can easily be developed in the church. But this is not what we are supposed to be toward one another. God says we need to encourage one another and build one up another. You see, we not only consider the examples of Barnabas, but let us take a moment to reflect on the example of our Lord Jesus. When do you see Jesus being a discouragement? When do you see Jesus offering a discouraging word? The Samaritan woman that Jesus encounters at the well has a sinful life. Now, does Jesus speak encouraging words or discouraging words? We see that he encouraged her spirituality and faith. The woman who was caught in adultery, that the leaders are ready to stone her. Does Jesus encourage her or discourage her? What wonderful words our Master says. Neither do I condemn. Neither do I condemn. Go and from now and sin no more. John 8:11. Also, the sinful woman who enters the Pharisee's house and is weeping over the feet of Jesus. The Pharisee wants the sinful woman out of his house. But what did Jesus say? Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Luke 7:50. You see, brothers and sisters, we need a lot more encouragement in our lives. How often we can start with an encouragement with each other rather than an encouragement, discouragement. This does not mean that there is not a place or a need for rebuke. There is a need for rebuke sometimes, but this is not the only thing we need. It is not the only tool given to us by our Lord God. We need to start with encouragement. 1 Timothy 5:1-2. Please go to 1 Timothy 5:1-2. It says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Hebrews 10:22-24. I think we kind of know most of these verses in Hebrews 10:22-24 says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. We read this text with one main theme, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. We need to notice the things that we need to be encouraged to do when we come together. First, since we have this great priest over the house of God, which is our Lord God, Jesus, we need to be encouraged to draw near to God in full assurance of faith. Hebrews 10:22, we just read. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We need to be encouraged in faith. Acts 14:21-22. Sometimes it's a wonder I haven't torn some of these sheets already. 21 to 22. says, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city, they had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." Okay, and also, 14:21, Paul and Barnabas went around to the churches they had just established to strengthen the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith. So we must also encourage each other in faith. We should not assume that we all are strong in the faith and doing well in the faith. You see, we need to encourage each other, especially because we will go through difficulties, tribulations on this journey with our Lord God. Paul wrote to the Romans and told them that he longed to be with them so that they could mutually encourage each other in the faith. Romans 1, 11 through 12 says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may establish, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me." Paul wanted encouragement in the faith from the Christians in Rome, and Paul wanted to encourage the faith of the Christians who were in Rome. Paul desired encouragement, and Paul desired to be an encourager. Brothers and sisters, we need to see ourselves filling that same role for each other, to encourage each other to continue in the faith. This life is hard, and living faithfully before God requires hard choices and sacrifices. The writer of Hebrews says we need to hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise." We need to grow in hope. We need to encourage each other in the hope we have. We can encourage each other by reminding each other of the hope we have in our Lord Christ. God is faithful to his promises. Next, we need to consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Hebrews 10:24, we read, says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." You see, consider is an important word because it means that we take thoughtful effort and intention. We must be thinking about how to stir others up to love and good works. How can I help you grow in love and doing good? How can you, brother and sister, help me grow in love and doing good works? What can I do to promote love in the other person? What can I say that will encourage you to do good works, to not grow weary in doing good? The importance of one another. Christians share a bond of Christ. We often stress the need for personal responsibility and individual accountability. Yet, we should also see that Christianity is built upon a one another model. God did not intend for us to walk alone in our journey or of serving the Lord. There are a number of passages that show this, but the most obvious way to see it is in Jesus' own statement. Please go to Matthew 16:18. I believe everybody just about knows that scripture. Matthew 16:18. But I'm going to start with verse 15. He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bartholomew, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Excuse me. So we see that the Lord God revealed to Peter who Christ truly is. Now they know who their master is, Jesus, the Son of God. With that, now goes with the verse 18. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, which means confession, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The emphasis is on I. Did the apostles build the church? No. Did man build the church? No. God is speaking here, and he says, I will build my church. It astounds me that nowadays, just about every month or every 2 months, seems like there's a new church being opened. So many. There's really no telling how many churches are being built every day. But who are opening these or building these churches? Man. Not God, not Jesus, but man. And it's sad to know that this is happening. So we must know who our true church comes from, or Jesus Christ. Church, ecclesia, refers to a group or assembly that does not refer to one person alone. Christ promised to build a group of people who would serve him. And again, while individual responsibility is vital, read Ephesians 4:16. Stand therefore, having your, let's see, 4:16. No, wrong one. From whom the whole body fitted jointly together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You see, the idea was never for one Christian to be on an island with no contact or help or love from other Christians. Paul wrote that walking in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Ephesians 4:1-3 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. One another, there's the key. One another is the key to our walk. Jesus told his disciples in John 13:34-35. Says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one another, love one to another. The relationships we have with other Christians are important enough that Jesus said this would serve as proof of discipleship. Paul told his readers that through love they are to serve one another. Galatians 5:13, For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Christians cannot afford to try to walk alone in serving the Lord, for they would be neglecting one of the most important features of love and service. And that is, my brothers and sisters, again the word, two words, one another. Not only are Christians to love and serve one another, but they are also to welcome one another. Romans 5:7 says, wherever receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. And greet one another. Romans 16:16. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Paul wrote in Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. We should speak to one another in song. Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Submit to one another in reverence. Ephesians 5:21. Submitting yourselves one another in the fear of God. James wrote in James 5:15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. There are many other passages that talk about one another, each strengthening the idea that Christians are meant to be together so that they can support and help each other. One of the most important aspects of our togetherness is that of strengthening each other and lifting each other up in the face of potential discouragements. Encouragement is necessary for edification, and these require, again, one another interactions. Paul wrote in Thessalonians 5:11, we read that earlier, says, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. The Hebrew writer is clear on the need of encouragement, especially given the context that there were Christians who were tempted to leave Christ for their old ways. Hebrews 3:12-24. Please go to Hebrews 3:24. Hebrews 3:12-14. Take heed, brethren, lest ye there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Now Hebrews 10:23-25. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. You see, these passages show us the importance of patiently encouraging and strengthening one another in faith, because there is always a danger of drifting away from the Lord. To that end, God has given the gift of each other, and this is not to be taken lightly or dismissed. Through pride, one might like to think, I don't need no help, and I can do this on my own. But the Lord knows us better than that. He built his church so that we would not be alone and could lean on one another through the good and bad. Conclusion. If we look at coming to worship as a requirement, a duty, or something that has to be done, then we are missing out on the joy what we are doing together. We are together to encourage each other. All of us need encouragement. How is that encouragement going to happen? We can only come alongside each other by getting together and putting this word of God into each other's heart in our Bible studies and worship times. You see, this does not happen through mere social events. We might feel good, but our faith is not built, encouraged, or grown in social gatherings. We give each other faith, hope, and love by speaking the scriptures into each other to stir one another up in love and good works. Encourage each other all the more is a simple passage Paul gives to the Thessalonians that we just read. Let me read it again. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. We need each other. We need to think about encouraging each other. This is one of our important goals as we come together as a family in Christ. Now I close. The water is ready. If you believe in Jesus and want to receive the remission of your sins, repent and be baptized to wash your sins. Or if you need our prayers for you, come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.